much about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Did you ever have something that you really loved, that you accidentally killed or hurt in some way with a machete?
No.
No, me neither. Wouldn't that be terrible, though?
How would you live with yourself?
I know, right? Exactly.
I'm Fester Trim. Many of you know me as the man who sells you your guns at the Gunbelievable Gun Emporium.
Woo!
I want to tell you about my idea for assault rifle vending machines.
And now,
even if they're just a wolf.
A wolf?
A wolf.
A wolf.
Yeah, that's what I said, a wolf.
A wolf.
A wolf.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It's Thursday morning.
I miss the talk about the wolf.
Wolf?
Yeah, Dave the King of Mexico calls it a wolf.
Can't
well.
Say.
Yeah, a lot of words Dave can't say. Wolf, apparently, is one of them. Welcome on in. As you mentioned, it is an all-new Kevin and Bean show. It is Thursday. The president yesterday did an online chat. I don't know if you saw this on Reddit, Kevin.
Did not.
This is where you sit down and people from all over the country can ask you any question that they want, which I always think is interesting when you have the opportunity to do that. Of course, you're not required to, you can pick and choose. You get thousands of questions. You pick and choose which ones you want to answer. And a lot of people were disappointed their questions didn't get answered. Everything from space exploration to, questions about the wars, medical marijuana, a lot of stuff was covered.
Ass play.
You should have jumped on. Nobody brought up ass play. That was. But here are some of the questions that the president decided not to answer, which I thought were interesting. And I was thinking about this. If you had the opportunity, and I guess you did, as did everyone in the world who has internet, if you had the opportunity to ask the president a question and thought you had a chance of him answering it, what would you ask him?
Could he move up the start date for The Walking Dead?
Okay. All right.
That would be my question.
The president is involved in the AMC programming, mm-hmm. but that would be your one question.
Maybe
I don't know
he could
mine
be.
Would be. I mean, I guess if he called, they might listen to him. He is the president. Here are some of the questions that that came down yesterday, though, during the internet chat. Welcome to Reddit, sir. I guess this was the first question. Canadian here in Toronto, Ontario. My question for you is Star Trek or Star Wars? He did not answer that. I don't know why you would be interested in knowing that.
Huh.
He did answer who's your favorite basketball player, which is a pretty dumb question since I think pretty much everyone knows at this point that he's a Bulls fan, right?
Chicago, so, yeah.
Obviously, Jordan is his guy. Here's an odd question. What are your thoughts on Neil deGrasse Tyson, the famous astronomer, Freddie Mercury, the famous singer, and Neil Patrick Harris, the famous actor?
All Neils?
Freddie Mercury?
Huh.
That's an odd question, right?
Yeah, that is a strange question.
Why would that be something you would want to know?
Like, I don't.
Why would anyone want to know the president's thoughts on Freddie Mercury?
I don't know. It sounds like it's someone trying to be funny, but I don't know.
What color is your toothbrush, and what is your favorite flavor of toothpaste?
Dum-dum.
Why do you think there's not a White House cat? Is it because cats are horrible?
Yes, that's a good question. Cats blow is the answer.
Cats are awesome, first of all. He did not answer that one. Oh, he did answer this one. What is the recipe for the White House's beer? Did you know that the president is a home brewer, Kevin?
No.
President set up his own home brewery in January of last year. And I guess some people have – I'm not joking about this. Some people have filed with the Freedom of Information Act to ask him to release – the recipe for the beer that he drinks.
He's got some moonshine in the White
House. Apparently he's growing his own, right?
I love it.
He did answer that. It will be out soon. I can tell you from firsthand experience, it is tasty. Mr. President, what do you eat for breakfast? That seems like a big waste of time. Do you think you could beat Abraham Lincoln in a knife fight?
I like that.
I wish he would have answered that. Mm. I don't think he could, by the way.
No, I don't think so either. But
Lincoln's got the reach, I would think.
Yeah.
A lot taller, right? What is your favorite episode of South Park? Did not answer that.
Oh, that's good.
Mr. President, does Chicago really have the best steaks in the country? If you and Joe Biden got in a one-on-one basketball game, who would win?
Please.
I think I would give the president the nod on that, right? Black guy always wins in the one-on-one. Biggie or Tupac, and my favorite, Chad and I are going to order up a couple of pizzas you want in.
That means the president would have to go to where they are.
I guess so. I mean, I think that was a very generous offer, but it doesn't look like the president took advantage of being in with Chad and him for pizza. So.
That's funny.
So good times.
That's what happens when you let anyone ask the president questions. I love it.
Exactly.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You got to know, I'm not just some guy.
That is the voice of an angel.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Kira Sedgwick will be on the program today.
Yeah.
She, of course, is from The Closer. She's also in the movie this weekend, The Possession.
Yeah, looks creepy.
The Possession.
She's a good actress.
She is. Did you know there's a Southern California sports code that is now being enforced? Did you know that? That all the different sports have gotten together, and they've come up with a code of, I don't know, honor, actions.
Conduct.
Conduct by the fans.
Yeah.
And they're going to try and enforce it.
And what's interesting, by the way, is it's something they've all signed on, and if you are an a-hole at Dodger Stadium, they'll know about it the next time you go to, you know, the Coliseum. Like, they exchange information.
That's weird, right?
How about that?
We're going to talk about Jerry Jones, the owner of the Cowboys, rapping. He's also banned a player from going to strip clubs, which is an odd thing to do for an NFL
football. What's the point in being in the NFL if you can't go to strip clubs and make it rain?
Kendrick Beer can't go to a strip club. We have Dr. Drew on the program today.
Wow.
Talking about that doctor stuff, as we do, as we drew. And top 10 junk foods on today's Kevin and Bean Show. Bean will not tell me the list, but there is a top 10 junk food list. And this is a list of foods that the guy, the author, thinks should not exist?
Yes.
F him.
Foods that have no business existing. He doesn't understand why anyone would ever eat any of them.
So we got that coming up as well. We'll take a break. We will come back with the showbiz beat.
Deny my dear. Deny my dear.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 551.
Kevin, I feel that you like that song as much today as you did the first time you heard it.
That's correct.
Rare.
That is.
Rare for a song.
Yeah, and that is to say I don't like it at all.
Oh, come on.
That's right. Never did, still don't.
Why don't you like a song?
Too much banjo,
it's
man.
There's lots of banjo in it, and that's a happy stringed instrument. It should make you smile. It should make you smile.
Very nice. Ralph Garvin steps in. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday, Kevin and Bean Show, 551. Good morning, Ralph.
Congratulations to Holly Madison. Holly Madison, you may remember, was one of the girls next door, one of Hugh Hefner's three girlfriends when they were doing that reality show. She was the main girlfriend, and everyone thought they might be getting together and getting married, but no, that relationship went by the wayside. Apparently, they're still very good friends, but she has moved on. She went to Vegas to perform on stage in a burlesque revue show, and apparently that's where she met her boyfriend, Pasquale Rotella.
Pasquale Rotella.
Pasquale Rotella. And Holly has announced that she is having a baby with Pasquale. She's thrilled about expecting her first child. She said she always wanted to be a mom. She thought it would take longer to conceive. But apparently it happened very quickly. So congratulations.
So like a minute and a half, you mean?
To Holly Madison. No, very soon in terms of when they started trying.
I see.
Our next
God, story. She's hot. Next Playboy story. Hot.
Next story. Condolences to Holly Madison. Her boyfriend, Pasquale Rotella, apparently was indicted last April and slapped with 29 counts of bribery, embezzlement, conspiracy, and conflict of interest after allegedly channeling $2.5 million from an event venue to city officials.
Oh, that's bad.
If convicted, he could wind up spending 13 years in jail. He returns to court for a pretrial conference on the 25th of next month. So, single motherhood, apparently, in the offing for Holly Madison. Well done. Good choice. Smart move. You're the brainy one, Holly. You're the brainy one. He was indicted last April.
So she knew going into it.
She knew going into knockup season that it was a potential her boyfriend could be in the Gray Bar Hotel, in the Hooskow, in the Slammer.
Right.
In the Big House.
Right.
And said, yeah, by all means. Put a baby inside me, because I look forward to the challenges of single motherhood, you giant dummy. God.
Not ideal.
Hef did the right thing.
Yeah, he did.
Rapper, singer, icon, Bobby Brown has reportedly checked out of rehab after spending 3 weeks there as part of a plea bargain deal from his DUI arrest back in March. His wife, Alicia Etheridge, confirmed to various media sources that he did leave the program, but she says he's graduated.
Oh, that's great. He graduated.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I didn't even get him a gift. I had no idea he had graduated from rehab. No one is worried, she said. We're all supportive and proud. Why would you be worried about Bobby Brown leaving rehab early? I'm sure he's got a firm grip.
And has for quite some time.
Absolutely. Fear is no longer a factor to him.
Isn't the biggest surprise of that story, Ralph, that he's married to Melissa Etheridge? I had no idea.
Alicia Etheridge is her name. Alicia Etheridge.
Yeah, it didn't make sense. That was a weird matchup.
Yes, indeed. Bill Cosby wants you to know that he is alive.
Okay.
Another day, another internet death hoax. I think since the invention of the internet, it has been used more for death hoaxes than almost anything else.
That's true.
It's been invented for. Maybe porn. Maybe porn, number one. Internet death hoaxes, number two.
And they always seem to be the same people. Like Eddie Murphy,
usually a black guy and a winter sport of some kind. For some reason, it seems to be black guys and skiing or snowboarding or something. It's always some incongruous matchup. But Cosby says he is alive.
He's not dead.
Rumors of his demise spread like wildfire last Monday after a guy named Jonathan Gorman, no relation, created a group called R.I.P. Bill Cosby on Facebook.
Maybe he was just hoping.
Maybe he was. Bill took to Twitter. He had to fight fire with fire, so he took to Twitter to ease the mind of his fans.
What did his tweet say, Ralph?
He said, "I'm drinking with the fervent death of the fervent." And I'm concerned for the thick and burning sweaters and pudding pop.
That's why the word never gets out that he's alive.
That's right.
He has what the hell he's talking
no
about.
No one can understand him anymore.
When he does die, none of us are going to believe it.
Nope.
That's true. Oh, heard it before.
The cause, of course, Philadelphia's most famous son, probably. My hometown of Philadelphia.
Sure.
A lot of news coming out of Philly this week as well because Liam Hemsworth is currently in the city of brotherly love filming a new movie called Paranoia. Miley Cyrus, his girlfriend, is right by his side because it's very important that they spend all of their waking hours together.
Sure.
Miley, however, not endearing herself to Liam, according to sources. She has been behaving like quite the wild child, say people close to the situation.
The, not situation, the situation is in that?
From the Jersey Shore. No. She's been smoking pot and partying like a rock star in Philly, say sources. Where did she hit up a gay club last week with her engagement band missing and was laughing and talking about people how she couldn't find her ring? To make matters worse, apparently she got very flirty with an intern at a recording studio while she was laying down some tracks there and asked for his phone number. So,
sweet.
Miley's whoring out in Philadelphia.
I'm so high!
Have you seen her new haircut, by the way?
Yeah.
You know she's high. You know she's high when she gets her haircut like that. And who do you think's most broken up, most upset, most sick-hearted about the split between Kristen Stewart and Robert Pattinson?
Rob Pattinson, maybe?
No, that's not the correct answer.
Kristen Stewart?
That's not the correct answer. It's the people who have to promote Breaking Dawn Part 2.
Sure.
Sources tell the New York Post that they are beside themselves trying to figure out how they're going to sell this movie with its two biggest stars at odds with each other.
Can't they just get them together and say, look, you're in a movie together. We just have to fake it. We'll do it at separate times. Just act like everything's okay.
Studio apparently has put all of their promotional plans on hold because they're desperately waiting and hoping that they'll make kiss and make up, get back together again. They don't know how to approach this program yet because they don't know what the state of that relationship is going to be.
That's weird.
So they're trying to put a contingency plan into place in case the two are not speaking by the time Breaking Dawn Part 2 rolls around. They said they'd probably set them up with separate premieres and have Ashley Greene do the majority of the promo work.
Now we're talking, by the way.
Send her all over the world.
That's
to have her
way
be the
better.
Face of the franchise and just send our Pats and K-Stew to separate premieres on different parts of the globe in order to avoid them running into each other.
They should just lock them into, kidnap them, lock them into a room, and don't let them come out until they can get along.
I agree.
That always works.
And not even don't even let them out then, I would say.
Because, let's face it, even forget trying to get them to appear together. Even if they do separate interviews, they're not going to be able to avoid that question being asked over and over and over again everywhere they go in the world.
That's a good point. And Courtney Stodden turned 18 years old yesterday. And I did mention that the wannabe actress who married Green Mile and Lost star Doug Hutchinson when she was 16 years old and he was 50. She received 4 different adult film offers from 4 different porn companies when she turned 18, giving her lucrative offers to have sex in porn movies. Now, of course, Courtney is a very religious girl. She does tweet
some flirty stuff online, but she also tweets about her deep, abiding love of Jesus. Many Bible quotes will be seen in her Twitter feed. She will often temper her minxish sexuality with some positive biblical references.
But it's weird because she's super slutty in her tweets, and then she's super Bible person.
She is enormously religious, and she is a good, good girl, despite the flirty nature of her Twitter and her photo shoots. So naturally, yesterday she said regarding the four different offers she's received from the adult film companies, I am looking and considering that, though. I am not saying no at this time. So it's good to know that Courtney's got her head in the right place. And while we're talking about porn stars, porn star Kim Kardashian, she twit-picked a snapshot of herself in a wedding dress.
Really?
Yes.
Already?
Yes.
How to run a man off.
That, as you can imagine, got the gossip mongers mongering, saying that the third trip down the aisle is in the works with her and, of course, her boyfriend Kanye West. She was said she was having a late-night fitting at Pucci. The photo showed a long-sleeve embroidered white wedding dress, a backless gown, and here's the only thing. She is still married to Chris Humphries. That divorce has not been finalized.
Oh,
that's not even close to being settled.
Really? That's right. So she can't.
She couldn't get married if she wanted to. So why is she twit-picking a picture of herself in a wedding dress?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Why is she twit-picking herself in a wedding dress? No.
It's just, I haven't been in the news this week. How do I get everyone talking about me? I'll make them think we're getting married if I just send a picture of myself trying on a wedding dress. That will keep me in the news for the next three
days. So it's, hey, look at me.
Yeah.
And 3 days ago, she was tweeting that photo of her in a bra and a strand of pearls. Remember?
Right.
Yep. That was her, hey, look at me for Monday.
Yeah. I wonder where they'll get married, if they do get married, Kanye and Kim. You think it'll be in that ballroom at the Sheridan where her beloved church is, where they... The church, Our Lady of the Greedy Whore, is
somehow I doubt it.
Having their services on Sundays.
I also don't think she'll plan the wedding. I believe it'll be Kanye.
And I bet it won't be publicized or televised.
No.
I bet it'll be a nice, quiet affair.
That's
at
the
Sheridan, at the Church of Eternal Life and Wellsprings of Hope. Or whatever.
And tax shelter.
And tax shelter. Our Lady of the Tax-Free Donation. Celebrity birthdays today. Lisa Ling, TV personality, is 39 years old today. I thought she was still, I thought Sun Young Kim still had her in prison or something.
That was her sister.
Oh. Andy Roddick, the tennis player, is 30 years old today. Actress Cameron Diaz celebrates her 40th birthday today. Lars Frederiksen of Rancid, he's the guitarist for that band, 41 years old. Legendary DJ Paul Oakenfold celebrates his 49th birthday. As does Chicky Baby, Michael Chiklis. You know him from The Shield, but he's got a brand new series called Vegas coming on this fall, and I'm looking forward to it.
Seen that advertised.
Dennis Quaid and Chiklis. Old school Vegas story. Looking forward to it. 49 years old today. And my personal Lord and Savior, one of my heroes, Lewis Black, celebrates his birthday today. Lou is 64 years old. I had a chance to listen to the advanced copy of his new comedy CD, which drops, I want to say, September 11th, I think.
Fantastic.
Right? He's got a new special coming on Comedy Central as well on the 7th. So I just popped it in. Dave got a hold of it. He said, you'd probably appreciate this. He knew I'm a big fan. So I popped in the car, and I'm driving around L.A. city traffic this week, crying like an idiot, laughing so hard, tears are rolling down my face. People were looking at me at traffic lights, thinking I was a mental case.
What's wrong with that guy?
I laughed so hard. It's called In God We Rust. So if you want to pick it up when it comes out, I'll give you the heads up. Happy birthday, Lou. He's 64. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Thanks a lot for tuning in here on a Thursday. She won an Emmy and a Golden Globe for her role on The Closer, which just wrapped up. Now she's starring in a new film called, give me a little bit of that, The Possession. Then we'll talk to Kira Sedgwick, shall we?
I have no idea where I got here.
Hebrew scriptures. It says Dybbuk.
And where are you?
It's the Hebrew word for demon.
What does this thing want with my daughter?
The spirit is the taker of children.
Him.
Once a box is opened,
people die.
Yes.
Nope. Nope.
Yes.
Nope.
Yes.
Nope.
Yep.
Hi, Kira.
Hi, good morning.
Welcome back to the Kevin Bean Show. Great to talk to you. I don't know. This is one of those movies that there are two types of people in the world, and you're talking to both of them that see it on the TV, and they go, yes, or they see it on the TV and go, nope. It looks like it sticks with you when you
so
see this film.
I think guys are scarier to see this kind of movie than women are.
I think there's something even creepier about the fact that we know that it's, I mean, there's a lot of creative license for the film, but I mean, it is based on a true story of something that has happened to people with possessed objects. And I think that that's what makes it more terrifying, is knowing that it could happen to me.
That's right.
That's the fun of it. That's why it's awesome.
Yeah.
That's why you need to go see it.
That's right.
How did you get involved with this project, Kira?
Well, let's see, I read the script, and I thought it was a good script, you know. I thought it was, a cool Exorcist-type movie. Exorcist was one of my great loves as I was growing up. I really loved horror. I saw, The Exorcist and Poltergeist and The Omen, and they scared me so much. But I also just thought the acting and the character stuff was just great. I mean, that's what made it so great. And so... when I got the script, I liked it, and then there was a lot of really great people involved, and I knew that we would really try and elevate the material, and Jeffrey Dean Morgan is fantastic, and the little girl who plays M, Natasha Callis, is just unbelievable. She's a real deal, and she's a great actress, and she's really scary, and she's really moving. And Modis Yahoo is in it, who, it's pretty amazing, too.
One of these is not like the other.
Is this the first acting Modis Yahoo's ever done? Because we've had him on, of course, here on K-Rock to talk about his music, but I didn't even know he did act.
Yes, it is. It is the first acting he's ever done. And let me tell you, he crushes it. He's really great. He really is.
Wow. This little girl, Natasha, that you mentioned, how old is she when you guys are filming this movie?
I think she was 13 or 12 and a half or something like that. And she's just, she's one of those kids where you go, oh, she's really great. And you'll see her forever. You'll see her for the rest of her life.
It's so weird to think. I mean, most kids that age would be so terrified of some of the things that they have to do. And I mean, I read about the scene where she's covered in thousands of moths and things like that. But she's right. Just a pro already and can just shake it off and understand it's just she's just playing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And she's one of those kids, people that like has to go 100%. She doesn't know how to do anything half. So she's really extraordinary. It's really worth it. And it's really, really scary, but it's also really, it's about a story about real people. So you can really relate, which actually probably makes it scarier.
Ralph, right. Who does the showbiz here, has a theory, and I do too. I agree with him that kids possessed way scarier than adults possessed. I'm not exactly sure why, but they just seem like they're so much worse.
I don't know. There's something about the innocence and the purity, I guess. I don't really know. But it is. It's much scarier. It's much scarier. I mean, I can remember some great movies recently, like Orphan and stuff like that.
Yep.
Really creepy kids.
There's something wrong with... What was her name?
That's right. I know the one you're talking about. Yeah. This is the voice of actress Kira Sedgwick. We're here on the Kevin DeBean Show talking about the new film that opens everywhere called The Possession. Had you ever given any thought to things like possessions before you read the script? Is this something you had any kind of personal interest in, believed in, or didn't believe in, Kira?
Well, again, I The Exorcist was really a seminal movie for me as a kid growing up. And, I really feel like we use 10% of our brain. We know very little about how the human body actually works. We really don't know how the solar system and the universe arrange themselves. So what the hell do we know? I mean, there's spirits. I mean, I completely believe that. I mean, I just try and be a decent person so that, some really evil spirit doesn't possess me. But I do think that there are all sorts of things that we don't know and don't see.
Hey, in this case, the little girl just buys an antique wooden box on eBay or at a garage sale or whatever, and that was innocent, that was good, and things go terribly wrong. So don't buy anything off eBay. Is that what we're saying?
It's not on eBay. It's in a flea market.
Flea market. Yeah. All right.
Just don't buy anything ever. You won't have to worry about bringing evil spirits into your home. Hey, real quick before we let you go, Kira, I wanted to know, I know you wrapped up The Closer, and congratulations. I know it's something that you'll be proud of for the rest of your life. But what was it like for you living in Los Angeles, making that show all those years after being such a New Yorker for most of your life?
You know, I have to say, I ended up really just absolutely loving it. After being like the New York snob, you know, oh, L.A. is this and that, I really grew to just absolutely love it here. And in fact, after like 7 years of renting houses, every year I was here on the show, we actually ended up buying a house after we finished the show. So that makes sense.
Nice.
But it's just, I mean, I love it here. It's really beautiful. I think California is so ahead of the curve in so many ways, and I dig it.
So New Yorkers and Los Angelinos can get along, is what you're saying. That's the message.
Yes,
here
can.
Today.
It just takes 7 years.
Exactly. It takes 7 years. All right. Kira Sedgwick on the phone with us. The movie, again, is called The Possession. It looks fantastic, and congratulations on it, and thanks so much for coming on today. We really enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you. Take care.
By the way, every day this week, we are giving away tickets to a great show. The Doheny Days Music Festival is happening in a couple of weekends down at Doheny State Beach. Jane's Addiction, Flaming Lips, Jimmy Eat World, bunch of other great acts. We'll have tickets you can win a little bit later on today. Also, actress Megan Mullally on the program today, and Dr. Drew Pinsky, all coming up on K-Rock.
You guys believe in hypnosis, going back and figuring out what happened to you when you were a child?
No.
Not at all?
No.
What if you were abducted by aliens?
Oh, I wish. It's my dream. How can I sign up to be abducted by aliens? You know, I've been wishing for that my whole life.
There's a girl on YouTube. And by the way, she's not the typical girl that you would picture. You know, usually it's the down south and it's no teeth having people.
Usually the people who are abducted by aliens or see crazy things are in Honey Boo Boo's family.
Yeah, exactly. This chick's relatively hot. And I would say for people who've been abducted by aliens, she's a 10 on that scale.
I agree. I mean, I would abduct her. I'm not surprised aliens tried to abduct her. If I had a van, I would be driving by.
So this is her talking about part of her childhood that she doesn't remember, and she's learning this all through hypnosis as she goes back and remembers what happened to her.
I know that there's parts of my childhood I don't remember. I know that I would always feel pregnant for about a month, and, you know, my cycle would skip, and then all of a sudden it would return, you know, because they actually have, you know, implant you with babies, and then you have them and they grow either in your stomach or in the test tubes on the ships. So I know that that was happening. And I know for a fact that I have hybrid children in another dimension that were a part of these, you know, the abduction program. So the exciting part is that we have these hybrid children, half ET, well, part ET and part human, part us. They use my eggs for something.
Hey,
so
that's great.
Wish me luck.
Okay, good luck.
So wish me luck is how she has that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was abducted by aliens and then they impregnated me and now I have hybrid children. So wish me luck. Where are these hybrid children? Are they on the Earth too, or are they going to be revealed to us later?
I think they're on a ship or they're someplace else. I don't think
maybe they're trying to grow enough hybrid children that then they can invade.
Could be. Now, through hypnosis, she remembers exactly what happened when she was a kid, what it was like, and she got taken up to the spaceship that you want to happen to you so bad, Bean.
Okay.
This happened to her.
We ended up going back to my five-year-old self.
She's talking about under hypnosis.
Mm-hmm. That was taken in the middle of the night, and there were these lights that came into my room, and I already knew that they were coming. Then once I got up to the ship, I saw the great room, which is this huge room where...
Okay, so the great room is a huge room that she sees, and okay, she sees someone she knows.
All of the humans are on the tables, and they're having to have sex or, you know, poking and prodded or whatever they're doing to, you know, reproduce. So that's where my parents went, and for my brother and I, we went into this other room and played with half of the, like, ET kids. But these ones, I think maybe in 1992, maybe the hybrids weren't that perfect yet. So they had kind of deformed-looking features.
Sure.
I don't think they do anymore. I think that they've perfected it pretty much.
She sounds very matter-of-fact about the way she's telling the story,
yes,
as if it's something that she knows well and does believe.
Wow, you're bringing the crazy extra hard today, huh?
But she doesn't, like I say, she doesn't look like the typical person who would be telling this story. She
right.
also seems smarter than the typical person who would be telling this story.
Right. So what do you think's going on here?
She's having hybrid children.
Obviously.
I mean, What do you need exactly? So now she's talking about what they're doing to her to help out her hybrid children. It's a girl, again, on YouTube, who's explaining that she has been taken many times by aliens up into their ships. And she has birthed half alien, half human children. And now they need some help.
Anyways, they were poking these huge needles into my hips and taking out hip tissue.
All right, now why are they doing that? Why are they taking out hip tissue?
I can't imagine.
And they telepathically communicated that it was to help one of my hybrid children.
Oh,
transplant. To help because his hips weren't forming in the correct way.
Right.
And so I voluntarily did that. Mm-hmm. And they were poking and prodding at my cheeks and all over my body. And in the actual session, there was excruciating pain. So there's no doubt that this stuff was quite intense. But I'm okay now. It's good. 2012. Uh-huh. The abduction program is over.
It's over. So no one has to be worried. The abduction program is over.
I have some poking and prodding in mind for her as well, if we could hook that up. By the way, you can see her if you follow Kevin Beat on Twitter, as you should. We did repost that video, so you could take a look and kind of make up your own mind, because there's a lot more to this video than what we have for you here on the radio. But I want to believe.
I do believe, and I hope that you're next.
This is Rise Against here on K-Rock. We've got Fun, Period, on the way. Also, Walk the Moon, Linkin Park, Group Love, Foo Fighters, a lot of good stuff coming up. First, though. You made a great point here right as the song was ending. This sports council that's in the news this week, that's been around for 25 years or whatever it is, not exactly the most high-profile organization in Southern California, is it?
Well, Los Angeles has its very own sports council, a self-described outgrowth of the success of the 1984 Olympic Games. Now,
why have I never heard about them until
this week? I've not heard of them either, so they're clearly not really front and center on anything.
Well, I guess their primary goal is to get together and figure out a way to attract more fans to the various sports venues around town. But now they are in the news because they have adopted something called the Southern California Fan Code of Conduct. It was just unveiled at a press conference this morning, and they're trying to make it a safer and more pleasant experience for people who go to all those Southern California sports venues. And they've got to, you know, it's logical stuff. I mean, it's basically you can't smoke except where it's a designated area, for instance.
It's basically the rules.
Yeah, you're restricting what you can bring into the venue. There's no fighting or threatening behavior, those sorts of things. You can't scalp tickets out in front. It's that sort of thing. But we wanted to find out some of the more of the specifics. So we asked producer Dave, hey, could you line somebody up for us? And I assume he did. He just won't tell me who it is.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
Hello, my name is Don Hall.
Don Hall.
Hi, Don Hall.
I'm the media representative of the LA Sports Council.
Okay.
Thank you for joining us, Mr. Hall.
Thank
we appreciate
you for having
it.
Me today. I appreciate it.
This was a surprise to us, as you may have heard us say while you're on hold, sir, that this council even exists.
Yes, the LA Sports Council is a secret, covert organization that operates behind the scenes in order to make as much money as possible for everyone who owns a sports franchise in Los Angeles and Southern California.
I see.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you putting that out there with such honesty.
Well, why lie about it? We're here to make money. Let's
face
it.
All right.
So, but now the Southern California Sports Code of Conduct.
Yes.
Could you explain what's the impetus behind this, Mr. Hall?
Well, for a long time now, the sports fan in Southern California has been unfairly categorized, we believe, in two different parties.
Okay.
The candy-ass bandwagoning white wine drinker,
right.
And the 40-ounce swilling criminal and hooligan.
Right.
These have been the stereotypes of the Southern California sports fan for some time.
Right.
And now we would like to change that and make sure that everyone in the sporting community knows that all of the fans in Southern California are, in fact, the candy-ass bandwagoning white wine drinkers.
What?
Yes. We want to try to make us more... more civilized, more sympathetic. We want to take all of the threats and the danger and the scariness out of the L.A. sports experience.
Well, I mean,
we can get more people into the venues and thereby raising our profit margins.
Right, but you're making it sound like it's a negative. If somebody goes to a game, a basketball game or a baseball game or a football game, whatever, well, yeah, football game too, you would want them to have a safe experience,
yes,
though.
Yes, exactly. A safe experience. That's what we're looking for.
Okay.
And we think the more wussified we can make the local sports fan,
I don't know that you want to make them wussified.
The safer the experience will be for everyone involved. I don't want to go to see a Raiders game because I will be murdered.
Well, you should be.
But I would like to go to a game where everyone is civilized and acting normally and very respectfully of the opponents and the other fans that are there to root on the other teams as well.
Okay.
All right. So what are some of the rules that are that we haven't already mentioned about profanity and smoking and things like that? What are the other things that are on this code of conduct now?
For each cheer that you give for the home team, there must be an equal amount of time allotted for cheering for the opposing side as well.
Well, why would you cheer for the visiting team?
It will happen because we're inducting this code of conduct, and you will be arrested and perhaps killed if you don't respond by this.
Are you kidding me?
So if I go to a Dodger game,
let me give
you
an example. If you go to an L.A. Dodgers game versus the San Francisco Giants.
Yes.
Great example.
Every time you cheer, here we go, Dodgers, here we go. You must cheer. Mad respect, Giants. Mad respect.
No, that's never
going to
happen.
We are going to be a Southern California sports fan is going to be the icon, the pinnacle of the civilized, respectful sports fan.
You're
going
to have to arrest 80,000 people.
Everyone that attends any sporting event in Southern California will be required to bring some sort of homemade baked good for the opposing team. They're going to have a potluck before the game starts, and you'll bring them a nice pie and say, "Welcome to Southern California. Try my homemade crumb cake."
I don't see that happening.
Any sense at all, Don. Come on.
The sports council also decided we don't care much for the yelling and clapping.
What?
It makes for a very offensive, noisy experience. We're looking forward to bringing back an age-old tradition that goes back to Roman times. When you're happy about something, just give a thumbs up. And if you're unhappy, you just put the thumb down. And that's how, from now on, we will cheer in Southern California.
So people can no longer cheer for the team they like.
It's a noisy, loud, uncomfortable sound. Look at that home run. And my thumb is up right now. You can't see it. But that would be how I would signify my happiness for the home run.
That's never going to happen.
One of the reasons you go to the live sporting event is so that you can cheer and be part of a crowd.
Why are you so loud? If you're unhappy with something or you're happy with something, we will be providing you with the email addresses of each and every player on the field. So if you have something to say, good job, you just bring out your handheld communication device and just type them off a quick missive.
Missive.
Okay. Yeah.
Don.
That means a letter.
As you may or may not know, the Los Angeles Kings won the Stanley Cup.
People
were going...
See, my thumb is up right now for that.
Right, but people were going crazy for the final 5 minutes of that game. It was exciting.
That was way too much. We would like.
No,
them.
It was just cheering.
No, that was an uncomfortable experience for all of us. Whatever happened to good old golf claps? Bring back the golf claps. Isn't that a nice sound?
I don't think you should be on the sports council, Don. I think you. No, we're not turning.
But we respect the other team as well.
No, we're never going to say that.
Nice work, devil.
We're never going to. That's never going to happen.
Golf clap here. Have a brownie.
Tonight,
6.7 K Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah, good song.
Yay, thumbs up.
Thumbs up. Enjoy the song.
Rob is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Thursday Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Mr. Gurman?
I love people.
Not really.
Some people. You want to know who I do love?
Yes, please.
These people.
All right.
I'll tell you a little story. There was once a spawn of Satan by the name of Taylor Swift.
How dare you?
She is evil incarnate. And she walks among us.
That's correct.
And she needs to be, I don't know how you kill Satan. I guess you have to do some spell or something, and you gotta put him in a bottle or something. I'm not quite sure. I gotta look up all the details. But she needs to be stopped, and this is the beginning. These people are my people. Taylor Swift is doing a promotional event with a textbook rental company called Chegg.
Okay.
And the pizza company, Papa John's.
Sounds like a smash so far.
It's a promotional concert. It's a tie-in with colleges and Papa John's Pizza.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And the event is whatever college campus, gets the most votes. Taylor Swift will come and perform a concert at your school.
Very, very common promotion, just like...
Happens a lot.
How Pitbull ended up at that Walmart in Alaska recently.
Right. So whatever school got the most votes, Taylor Swift would go and perform a concert. Well, my people hit the internet in droves.
Sweet.
They made the right thing happen. And the clear leader in this competition right now is the Horace Mann School for the Deaf and Hard of Hearing in Alston, Massachusetts. In addition to a performance by Taylor Swift, the top five vote-getting schools will each receive a $10,000 grant for their music department.
That's sweet.
So that's Horace fantastic. Mann has a strong, significant lead over the second-place school.
That's fantastic. So anyone can vote? Is that what happens?
Anyone
so people
can
just
vote.
Go out and just flooding
vote
the
for your favorite school.
For the deaf school.
Vote for your favorite school, and Taylor Swift will go there to perform.
Tadoff Switler.
Yes.
As
the voting stands right now, we'll have to perform at a school for the deaf.
It's fantastic.
Which really is a win-win. Everybody wins.
That's fantastic.
Because poor hearing people are not subjected to the screeching tones of Taylor Swift. And the people at the Horace Mann School get a little celebrity love.
And some money.
Devil. And some money. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. Taylor Swift, according to the official rules of the competition, can opt out of whatever school gets the most votes.
If really?
Her and her people decide that's not where they want to go, she can opt out of the performance.
Well, how's that a thing then? How is anyone voting
because
for...
she's evil. So here's the thing. If Taylor Swift cancels a performance at a school for the deaf and hard of hearing...
Right.
She will finally be showing her true colors about what an evil whore she is.
That's true.
So either way, it's a win-win. Either she goes and performs the concert...
And no one hears it.
...to people who cannot be damaged by her.
Right.
Or she will cancel that show and show her heartless nature of canceling on a school full of deaf kids.
That bitch is crazy.
So either way, we're going to know how she rolls.
Either way, you've got her on the ropes, Ralph.
That's right. That's right.
I like
she's
it.
In the bunker right now, and she's looking at that revolver.
Yep.
And you're knocking on the door to come in.
And I'm saying, it's 44, baby. It's 1944 all over again. Do it. I love this. I love that. My new thing is taking on these people and actually bringing them down as opposed to just making jokes about them.
People are funny. That is a great
It's a great vote. Thing.
Yeah.
Speaking of taking people down, my investigation into the Our Lady of the Tax Break, the Kardashian church that Kris Jenner created, that all of her kids donate massive amounts of money to.
That's alleged.
When they say, I'm donating to a church, it turns out it's a church that Kris Jenner herself started. It's really taken hold. People are getting fascinated by this and doing more and more work. A listener named Andrew has some personal insight into her co-founder, the pastor that she co-founded this church with.
Right.
Pastor of the church. Used to be the pastor of a huge Calvary community church in Westlake, California, says listener Andrew. That is, until he had numerous affairs with distraught women he was personally counseling at the church.
Numerous?
Allegedly, he had 14 affairs with 14 different parishioners who had come for counseling from the pastor.
Wow. Can I help your depression? Yes, I can.
He lost his job there and was working at a Starbucks when Kris Jenner sought him out to be the co-founder of the Church of Our Lady of the Hidden Income.
Now, did Kris Jenner request the special penis counseling also, does it say?
I can only imagine what her relationship was with this pastor before they founded the church together. I'm just saying he seems like, as Andrew writes, the perfect candidate to lead the Kardashian church.
So, 14?
Yeah, 14.
One is alleged enough to bring
affairs, down. 14 alleged affairs. Numerous affairs that he had with the distraught women he was personally counseling at the church.
This whole story is, there's a lot more to it than we know.
I love it.
You're
love
just
it.
Uncovering please, the top of it.
No. Please get Harvey on this, Ralph.
I know. Look, I hear
Where's
you.
Where's Harvey?
Where's Harvey? That's our new game show.
Is he being paid off?
Let's get some tickets to give away to some concert, play a new game called Where's Harvey?
Where's Harvey? Yeah.
I just wonder if they've gotten him already.
Oh,
they're paying him not to
I
run
see.
The story.
Yeah. Well, look, Kim Kardashian, rather, donates 10% of her yearly income to this church. And
church
it's
quotes.
Estimated that she makes $35 million per year. So that would be $3.5 million tax-free that the church gets every year.
Yeah.
So wow. They would certainly have enough to pay off the likes of Harvey Levin.
They could be given 2% to TMZ.com for
all
we know.
Here's my new story. The Kim Kardashian church is actually paying off TMZ.com to not cover this story.
How are you going to come at Harvey like that?
Because maybe if we rattle the bushes, the birds will fly out. You know what I'm saying?
Why don't we just call them?
Oh, okay. That's another option. That's not nearly as much fun as making up stories about TMZ.
Okay.
Maybe TMZ will cover the story that TMZ's on the take. Maybe they'll cover that story.
We're on the take, it'll say? That'll be the headline?
Right. We're being bought off.
That's alleged.
This is evil news. Charlie Sheen's anger management show on FX.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Remember he had that clause in his contract that if the...
Is that up now?
The first 10 episodes, whatever, reached a certain amount of ratings, it automatically kicked over and he got a deal for 90 additional episodes.
Right.
It's happened.
He got 90?
Yep. FX Cable Network has decided to extend Charlie Sheen's Anger Management Show for 90 more episodes.
Boy, that seems risky, doesn't it?
The new episodes will begin airing in January. You would think, Bean, that would be risky, but let me tell you something. They're going to do it in a very interesting way.
Oh.
The episodes are going to be produced at a frenetic rate, according to ZapToIt.com, the entertainment news website. They are going to make 45 episodes a year for 2 years.
45 episodes a year
for
2 years.
Most
shows can't. 22 is unthinkable.
That's the tops for most shows. They're going to crank out 45 episodes.
Well, that's going to be
high quality.
Each year
for 2 years. And then they will have 100 episodes already in the can that they will sell into syndication by the year 2014.
So they're
already planning their syndication deal. If they present someone with a package of shows that haven't even been aired yet, basically, on FX, that will go right into a syndication program. So that the minute when it airs on FX, then the syndicators get the rights to air that episode in reruns. That deal will already be in place, which means an enormous payoff for FX and for Charlie Sheen, because they'll make all kinds of huge syndication money. Usually, a TV show needs to wait 5 years, 6 years before they have enough episodes in the can to syndicate. This show will be ready for syndication in 2 years.
But
so they're hedging their bets, and it's a good financial model.
Interesting new model there.
Yeah.
But coming up with 45 a year is not sustainable.
But when you have someone with the wherewithal of a Charlie Sheen, when you have the talent and stamina and dependability of a star of his caliber,
that's
that'll
true.
Be easy just to knock those out.
Losers winning. You're bye-bye.
Right. He's winning. He is winning. By the way, the show's been doing pretty well on FX, quite frankly. Around 4.5 million viewers.
Huh.
Since its
That's
debut, making
real
it,
good for basic cable.
It's the highest rated new comedy on cable this year.
Wow.
How about that?
So,
who would have ever thought a year ago that we would be having this conversation about Charlie Sheen, who's doing great?
He's wildly successful. Going to make a lot of money. Today's celebrity birthdays, comedian Louis Black. Just one of my favorites. Just a genius. I heard his new comedy CD this week, and he's got a new comedy special going to be on Comedy Central on, I want to say, September 7th, I think it is. Anyway. Genius. 64 years old today. Michael Chiklis is 49. Paul Oakenfold, legendary DJ, is 49 as well. Rancid guitarist Lars Fredriksson is 41 years old. Cameron Diaz turns 40 today. Lisa Ling, TV personality, is 33. And tennis player Andy Roddick celebrates his 30th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Megan Mullally joins us later this hour here on the Kevin Bean Show. Dr. Drew will be coming up as well. And also the world's greatest junk food discussion on the program today. Boy, it got heated in the office yesterday.
Yes, it did.
What was the product we were talking about? Oh, Chipwiches. Man, there was a very strong divide on the quality of the ice cream sandwich known as a Chipwich on our program yesterday.
That's the king of Mexico. That's Dave.
First, though, let's take a look at some of your comments. Of course, there are many, many, many different ways you can get in touch with the Kevin and Bean Show. You can always email us, and we're going to read some of those right now. You can follow us and comment on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. You can follow us on Twitter at Kevin Bean. That's appreciated too. And you should definitely, if you're not able to listen to much of the show this time of day, you should definitely be subscribing to the podcasts through iTunes. Here's a couple of comments on the topic we did the other day about whether you would buy a house, Kevin, if there had been a murder in the house.
Yeah, I was a no. There are plenty of houses that are available that were no murders had taken place.
A lot of times you can get a good deal if you buy one that's just slightly used, though. The story was in the news about somebody trying to sell a house that Jeffrey Dahmer once lived in, where he murdered his first victim. And that's what started the discussion. Here's John writing in. Hey, Bean, podcast listener here. I just wanted to clarify, while some people don't want to buy houses where people were murdered. Well, maybe they live in the hood. Down the street from my house, there was a drive-by at a drug dealer's house. A new family had moved in, and they were being mistaken for the drug dealer that used to live there and that they were shot at.
Ooh.
Luckily, no one was hurt that time. Just think twice before you buy a discounted crack whorehouse where a murder happened. That's all I'm saying. Love the radio program. Love Bean's Death Corner. Please keep up the good work and fire beer mug.
Hey!
By the way, I'm not going to read the fire beer mug at the end of all of these emails. That's just assumed.
That's
if I'm reading an
PS.
Email... It ends with a fire beer mug. Here's another one on the same topic. Hey, guys, listening to the murder house bit on yesterday's show, at first I thought, of course I would buy the house. It doesn't matter. But then I changed my mind the more I started to think about it. Every night I would go off to sleep thinking about how somebody was murdered in that room. I don't think there would be ghosts or anything, but I would not be able to stop thinking about it, and it would keep me awake.
Hmm.
Secondly, what if there's a body in the wall or something? Kevin joked about finding a hand in the washer, but what if a serial killer or somebody hid someone that the police didn't even know about, and then you find them while remodeling the bedroom? Who needs that kind of hassle? Fire beer mug, Mike.
Stop it. Dear Kevin and Bean, we are fans of K-Rock, which we listened to in Moscow, Russia, but they removed it from Apple TV radio listening. Do you know any reason for this? We want it back, please.
No, I don't know the reason for that, except for that our company is very anti people listening to our radio station. I can tell you that in no way are we allowed to suggest that you search for an onion router. In no
way.
An
onion router.
We cannot tell you search for an onion router, and you can get around pretty much anything by searching for an onion router. We're being told not to tell you that.
So if you're listening in another country, in other words, or trying to,
correct.
We can't advise that an onion router may be the way to go in order to circumvent the CBS policy.
Correct.
I gotcha.
Right.
Here's our frequent K-Rock contributor, Tam Pham, who writes to us. He has a serious complaint with me. Come on, Bean, you keep making the argument that in the event of some hypothetical doomsday scenario, the government would keep it a secret to prevent panic on the streets. Remember we were talking about this the other day?
Yeah.
I think we were talking about whether the asteroid is coming toward Earth. Would the government even tell us? And I say no, because they'd want to prevent a panic.
I agree.
First of all, how good is the government at keeping massive secrets? Think about it. Secondly, swine flu, terrorism, STDs, the Japanese, communism. They try to convince people that everything will cause the end of the world. Hey, they even make up stuff to induce panic, like Iraqi WMDs and global warming. If something actually could cause the apocalypse, it would be a dream come true. At some point, if you're going to keep using this argument, you're going to need at least one. Just one actual stinking instance where the government hid information in the interest of preventing panic. I'd like to suggest a little incident called Roswell 1947.
You don't know that for a fact.
I'd like to suggest that the government knows a hell of a lot more about those alien creatures that they captured, and they won't tell us because they're trying to prevent a panic. So there. Suck it, Tam Pham.
You have no idea if that's the case. This one, the subject is Yes to the Bachelor. Hi, guys. I'm a longtime listener. Just finished Friday's podcast. Please, please, please run with the idea of the Bachelor Pad, Bachelor, Bachelorette Weekly Recap. Ralph and Pete talking about it would be awesome. It's been a long time, and I've had a horrible summer going through treatments for breast cancer, and the few things that have given me enjoyment are your podcast, Hollywood Babylon, and the Bachelor, Bachelorette Pad. Boom! Yes, I did just play the cancer card.
Oh, how
please
are we going to deny
consider
her now?
My request. It would make me and my new boobies so happy. Love, Jennifer.
I don't know that we could listen to how upset P gets over The Bachelor. Come on. Dear Kevin and Bean, Kendra writes in, I cannot look at anyone wearing white pants with a straight face anymore after learning about the scientifically proven meaning behind it that I learned on your show.
That's right.
One day my mom was telling me about her new pair of white pants, so I decided to enlighten her on the subject. After I told her that white pants mean you, well, you know, she laughed. Then there was an awkward silence, and she very pointedly did not deny this accusation before changing the subject. Now I'm faced to know for the rest of my life that my mom is wearing white pants and means it. It's science. Thanks, you guys are the best. Fire beer mug, Kendra.
You don't want to know that about your mom.
Here's a great idea for a phone-in topic from K-Rock listener Nick, who says, guys, how long has it been since you've had people call in to talk about the crazy stuff that they've done on Ambien? You know, Ambien, Kevin, is one of those sleep drugs that people take, and they get in their car and drive sometimes. We've heard stories about people who have just cleaned out an entire refrigerator, eaten everything in their house, and not even been aware of it. They wake up the next morning and go, what happened? Here's my Ambien situation from last year. I don't think I'll ever forget it. I had taken my regular dose to try to sleep. I'd gone to bed. I woke up and thought I was pleasuring myself while standing next to the bed. It all seemed sort of like a dream, very out-of-body feeling, but when it came time for the big finale, I realized I was peeing all over my bed. I didn't even know that was possible. Let me know if this is a topic you might be doing. Love you, Nick, in Abilene, Texas. That would be a lot of fun, and that is a terrible Ambien story. That's no bueno.
That was not a topic we were considering doing until right now. Thank you.
When will white guys stop trying to rap, Kevin? When's that going to happen?
Well, the problem is Eminem comes along. And then all white guys go, hey, we can rap. And that's the leap of faith that we need to stop taking.
Yes. We need to just go, Eminem, you are exceptional.
Right.
We cannot be you. Especially if we are 69 years old and are Jerry Jones, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, who is now rapping in this new commercial for Papa John's. Let me hear some of that, would you?
All right. Here you go.
When I'm at Cowboys Stadium or sitting at home, and I hear Papa John's pizza for Jerry Jones, yo, it lights me up like a Roman candle.
Yo, it lights me up like a Roman candle.
Toppings and flavor almost too good to handle. Cowboys, five stars, what I get. It's like a Papa John's Pepsi, double crack. Get a Papa John's large with a fine topping.
That's happening. That's fine. That happened on TV.
I'm sure he's poking fun of himself. He knows how bad he is. But just, Jerry Jones from the Dallas Cowboys, just stop it, would you? Come on.
Yeah. What's up, my jiggers?
No, we're not going to allow this to go any further. You did the commercial. You got paid.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're saying.
We're saying you're a cowboy owner. You live in Dallas.
Yeah.
You're not a rapper. You're not.
I'm a sea boy, yo.
You're not a sea boy.
Nope. Just talk like a regular person. You don't need to bring the hip hop lingo for us. You're not
this
freaking
me
Jay-Z.
Talking like a regular person. This is how I talk when I hang with my homies, yo.
You don't hang with. Look, you're 70 years old. You're not hanging with homies.
Of all, I'm six, not design.
Right.
Design.
Uh-huh. All right. You're
okay, I'm not 70 years old. Let's get that straight, and let's make sure the facts are in place.
Okay.
Hey,
wicka, wicka.
While we have you on the phone, and since we're just ahead of the football season kicking off here soon, are the Cowboys ever going to win again?
Now, listen, I was going to be civil with you guys, but this is where you're going to be.
What are you talking about?
Then I'm going to bust a cap in your ass.
Come on, Jerry.
Well, now you're not shooting guns.
Don't shoot guns. What's wrong with you?
I'm a cowboy.
Right?
That's how we roll, yo.
But you're not a rapper.
Me and Dez Bryant going to go out F some bitches up.
No, okay. You're not. You're keeping Dez Bryant, one of your players. You're assigning him 24/7 babysitting. And they can't take him to a strip club and he can't drink.
I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't even know those rules existed.
They do.
But
these
if they
rules
did exist.
Exist,
they would be smart rules that
you,
smart owner would have made.
You put these rules into effect.
I maybe.
Okay.
Maybe I didn't. How do you know? Yo, wicka wicka.
What is wicka wicka? What does that even mean?
I don't know. One of the black guys on the team told me to say it.
Well, no. You're going to be bad advice. Look, what's going on when a 23-year-old NFL player who's lucky to be on the team, when he needs full-time babysitting, don't you have something else you should be doing with your time and resources?
Dez Bryant is a special player.
Right.
I'm sorry. He's a special player.
Right.
And he's an important part of this team and something we need to concentrate on to make sure that he stays on the straight and narrow because we're going to need him this season.
Right.
When we beat the Giants' asses, yo.
But shouldn't you be spending more time on that and less on this?
2 liter Pepsi. People are swapping because there's no better value. Y'all catch my ride. Cowboys 5-star combo for $10.99.
Come on.
Cowboys 5-star combo, $10.99.
Right.
Right.
We heard that part.
We actually heard that, yeah.
That's
so
what I'm saying.
We played that for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like that. That sounds good.
It doesn't sound good. It sounds terrible.
That's why my milkshake brings all the boys to the yard.
Nope. Nope.
That's why these are the breaks.
Thursday morning. Thanks a lot for tuning in. You know, I like these new strict rules we have on guests, Kevin, where you have to at least win an Emmy to come on the program. I think that's our new policy. I think it's working out well for us today on day one. Well, we had Kira Sedgwick on earlier today.
Right.
And now Megan Mullally is on the phone with us. Hi, Megan. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Yeah, that's a crazy new rule you guys have.
Well, you know, we just felt like there was too much riffraff getting in here, and it made me feel kind of icky at the end of the day dealing with people like that, you know?
Let's keep it classy, people.
And that's what you're famous for, I'll tell you that, Megan. I don't know where to start with you. You are one of those actresses that has had such a wonderful, varied career, and I was thinking about this. People must come up to you, and when they come up to you and they recognize you on the street, there's no way you can guess what they're going to know you from, right? Because you might have a Party Down fan over here or a Will and Grace fan over there or a Children's Hospital fan over there. You never know where they're coming from.
Yeah, it's a little disconcerting. It's primarily Will and Grace, but, you know, the Party Down fans are and the Children's Hospital fans are maybe a little more interesting sometimes.
Well, you're so great on Children's Hospital. That is a fantastic show.
Thanks.
It's our favorite show under 15 minutes long.
Yeah. That show, we're nominated for an Emmy this year. Or
we know.
An Emmy, anyway, for Best Short Format Program. So
that's why we're allowed to mention it on this show.
Exactly, because it has pedigree. Now, if you don't win, I'm sorry, you're not going to be allowed back on the Kevin and Bean show, though.
I'll do my best.
Are people surprised to see that you can really walk when they run into you on the street?
yes, Yes, they're impressed, actually, that I can...
That you've made that much progress?
Talk without help, yeah.
Sure, it's fantastic. Well, the reason Megan is on today is she is doing a live event at the Largo that sounds super fun. Tell me about this this thing that goes on down there, which I get. Is it a continuing series of various comedians and musicians who work together, or is this a one-time deal, or what's going on, Megan?
Well, yeah, no, I started a band called Nancy and Beth.
Okay.
And,
are you Nancy or Beth?
I'm afraid I'm not at liberty to disclose that
information. Oh, that's a secret. Okay.
This is a secret. It's me and a girl named Stephanie Hunt, and we sing in harmony. But anyway,
is Stephanie Nancy or Beth?
Huh?
Is Stephanie Nancy or Beth?
Like I said, I mean, this
thought
is...
I could get you.
You tried to trick her. Okay.
Yeah.
Secret priority information.
All right.
We sing in harmony, and we have this great band from Austin, and every month, we've done a show at the end of every month for the last 3 months. The first show, we had Nick Offerman, who you may know.
Of course.
Yes. We've had the great Ron Swanson on before, sure.
Also happens to be my husband in real life.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And then last month we had Conan O'Brien.
Yes.
Wow. Because he plays a mean guitar, right? For reals.
Yeah. I mean, he's like an amazing singer and guitar player. So he did some rockabilly, which was amazing. And then this month we have Jack Black, who's going to come out and, you know, rock the children.
He's going to melt faces.
Yeah.
As he do.
Yeah. So we're pretty, you know, pretty amazing shows so far. And they've, you know, people have really been enjoying him, and we're really excited about it. We also got booked as a musical guest on Conan, so that's pretty cool.
Right. Oh, that's fun. Now, what kind of songs do you do? And tell me a little bit about your musical background. Did you come up in the theater or something?
You know, I did. I've been singing since I was, you know, old enough to turn on a radio. but I ended up doing, over the years, I've done some Broadway musicals, and I've done a lot of other, I've had some other bands and done a lot of recording. So this band, we do everything, you know, it's like every genre of music you could ever think of. It has a really fun, like, lighthearted, celebratory kind of feel to it. So,
polka?
Yeah. Oh, shoot. You know,
you said any kind of music I could think of.
You had to pick it, right?
Well, then I'm going to suggest you put in a phone call to a little man named Weird Al for next month and have him come down and play with y'all.
Well, I would love to have Weird Al, and I'd love to, like, rock some polka for you guys.
You know what's unique about your band is I feel like the more you talk about it, the less I know.
Well, we do everything. We do songs from every genre. We do, like, 50 songs, 30 songs, contemporary songs. We do a White Stripes song. We do,
wow.
You know, I mean, it's like, it really is kind of like everything in the kitchen.
It sounds like fun. It sounds like the kind of fun thing that would be best enjoyed live because you're in the minute and you...
It's really fun live. We sing in harmony. Sometimes we have this third girl, Petra Hayden, sings with us. So we do three...
Oh, I love her.
Two-part harmony. We do a little choreography.
Oh,
okay.
People,
all right.
It's all... out there.
Sounds like a classy evening, and it's going to be tonight at the Largo, which, of course, is on North La Cienega Boulevard in Los Angeles. So it's you guys and Jack Black and Petra Hayden and special guests and more, and it's tonight at around 9
Jack
o'clock.
Jack Black, it's at 9 p.m.
Tickets are available online only, just $30. You can get them at largo-la.com. Fantastic. Sounds like a lot of fun, Meg. I'm glad you came on. Thanks for the time.
Thanks for having me, you guys. It's great to talk to you.
Thank you.
Got to talk about the 10 junk foods that have no business existing, according to one author. Where were you on the big Chipwich controversy yesterday, Ralph Garman?
I was the guy who started the Chipwich controversy.
Chipwiches are awesome, right?
I was pro Chipwich.
Yeah,
me too.
The King of Mexico ruins everything with his theories.
It's no good. The Kulaku ruins it. It just crushes it. It's so much better.
How could a Chipwich be any better? It's a chocolate chip cookie with ice cream, right?
It's two chocolate chip cookies with ice cream in the middle. It
can't
is
be better than that.
Perfection.
Look,
it's
we don't
perfection.
Go to Dave for answers.
It's ice cream novelty perfection.
That's right.
Well, if that's a category that I agree, we're going to discuss coming up after the top of the hour. Right now, though, Ralph Garman has the showbiz beat on a Thursday. Kevin Abita.
You were just listening to Foo Fighters. I'd have to say maybe right now one of my top three bands in the world.
Agreed.
Of who I love. It's a shame they broke up, though. That's the only thing I think
what?
Is bad.
What?
Is
no, no.
Well,
no.
if you were listening to the Twitterverse,
yeah,
and the internet,
don't do that.
After this weekend's Reading Festival in the UK, when Dave Grohl was up on stage, and he said to the crowd, "You guys realize we've got a lot of songs to play. It's the last show of the tour, and it's the last show for a long time." So apparently, they have broken up, and they will not be playing again live. And
None of that is true.
Wait a minute. A lot of people took that the wrong way. And
yeah.
They were very upset.
Yes.
And Dave had to go on his Twitter feed, which he hates doing, by the way. Does not like Twitter.
Okay.
Does not like being forced to have to tweet things.
Okay.
But he had to. Where he said, "Sheesh, relax. I was only talking to England about England. Stop eavesdropping, internets." So what he's saying is that it's going to be their last show in the UK for a long time. That's why
he was trying to get
the crowd to appreciate their appearance there. But not as a band. They will continue to play. In fact, they're performing at Rock the Vote, a show next week in North Carolina as part of the Democratic National Convention. So Foos have more gigs after that, a September 29th show in Central Park, and others to come. So everyone who was upset about what was said over the weekend at the Reading Festival,
take it easy.
Everyone can breathe. Foos
live on.
Did
you see the picture that was going around last week of Dave Grohl wading out into the mosh pit and filling up some guy's red Solo cup with beer?
Yep. I sure did.
Took a bottle out there and filled up the dude's beer. How awesome was that?
It was awesome until I recognized it was a Coors Light. And then it stopped being awesome.
Why? What difference does it make? The guy needed a beer.
Yeah, well, Dave could have urinated in the cup and had the same effect as giving someone a Coors Light, for God's sakes. Dave should drink better beer is what I'm saying.
All right.
Coors Light. Oxymoron. Redundancy, Coors Light. Cans just float away. While we're talking about music, you know Elvis Presley's a big, big thing. Still.
Was.
Still. Still a big thing.
Okay.
Hundreds of millions of fans, Kevin.
Yeah.
People love him. They still show up en masse at his house on the anniversary of his death.
He's dead, though.
He's very dead.
Okay.
But his fame and his influence live on. And there's a big, big auction going on this week. Apparently, September 8th, I guess, will be the actual auction in the UK. Some of Elvis's personal effects are going up for auction. Some of his personal home movies, they expect to bring big money. His family Bible, which for some of the Elvis fans is the Holy Grail. Can you imagine Elvis and the Bible all mixed into one collectible?
Yeah, yeah.
But the one that everyone's very excited about is his underwear.
Nope.
Yep.
Nope.
Elvis underwear.
Nope.
Underwear actually worn by Elvis on stage in 1977 underneath one of his jumpsuits.
I do not want that.
Up for auction.
Yep.
Now keep in mind, Elvis was incontinent at that point. So there's an extra prize in the underpants for the winning bidder. There's a little extra something. No one has watched this underwear since he wore it on stage in 1977, people.
I don't want that.
That's gross.
A little special Elvis juice there.
Nope.
Little extra Elvis sauce.
No. Yep.
Little Elvis gravy for anybody.
No, thank you.
Who wants Elvis's shorts?
No, thanks.
What do you think opening bid is? Opening bid for Elvis's underwear?
$25.
Make it be low. Please make it be low.
Why, you want it?
$5.
Bean wants
no,
it.
I don't want it.
Bean wants it.
I'm getting this Bean for Christmas, no matter what it costs. I'm getting Bean Elvis's underwear.
No,
it'd be the ultimate prize.
I don't want to see people buying items
for
like
a music
this.
Fan
with an additional nugget.
Opening bid $11,000.
What?
They're expected to bring in over $15,000. It is the most
people love him.
The most intimate Elvis collectible they're saying ever put up for auction.
Maybe too intimate.
This
not
Elvis
just the fact that they belonged to Elvis in the 1970s, but it is so rare to find underwear size 62 waist. So it's a collectible on many levels. The underwear collectors will appreciate it. The Elvis collectors got something for
use
everybody.
It as a parachute?
Yep.
This is a bonus treat that you speak of.
I hate
to ask this, but is it
then
in, the
don't.
Front, in the back or both?
It doesn't say here.
Okay.
Maybe
it says,
both.
It says Elvis was incontinent. To me, that reads urine.
Okay.
That's okay.
That's usually what that word indicates to me.
Okay.
But he also had a terrible diet at that stage.
Yes, there's a lot of
there could be
a lot of possibilities.
A lot of peanut butter and nana sandwiches.
Oh,
yeah,
going in. So I can only imagine what was coming out.
A lot of stains on those.
That's all I'm
this
saying.
Is unpleasant.
That's all I'm saying. Hey, good news for Wipeout fans. Wipeout's been renewed for a sixth season. Congratulations to my buddy Johnny Hansen. my my twin brother of a different mother.
Sure.
They're coming back for a sixth season on ABC. The real good news, however, is Jill Wagner will be returning.
Really?
Yes.
We loved her.
Our favorite sideline reporter will be back along with some new courses for the show. So, ABC Wipeout fans, you'll be happy to know. Don't worry, though. Big Balls will still be back. They're bringing the Big Balls back.
Sure.
So, that's all that matters. Movie news. I am thrilled by this news. At first, I was heartbroken by this news, and now I'm thrilled by this news.
Why the change?
Because they're making a new RoboCop movie.
Okay.
Which, you know me, I do not like the remakes. I do not like the reboots. However, I think RoboCop is a film that has aged significantly since it was originally made.
So it doesn't stand the test of time and needs
not a... really, but it's a great premise, and I love the character, and I love the through line and the concept of the film. So if they do it well, if they remake it well, I think this could be a lot of fun to be had.
Okay.
Now, Joel Kinnaman is playing RoboCop. Peter Weller was genius in that role originally, so I am reserving judgment on his performance. However, the rest of the cast, as I found out about it, was just getting me more and more excited. Gary Oldman is playing the guy who builds RoboCop.
Always great.
Always great. Abby Cornish.
Oh, I love her so much.
Plays RoboCop's wife. Because RoboCop, if you don't know the premise, he's a Detroit cop who gets... It's sort of the $6 million man premise.
So he gets his body replaced?
He gets damn near murdered by criminals. And so they take it as an opportunity to use him as the basis for this cyborg cop they're going to build. Half machine, half man. And they make RoboCop out of him. But they wipe his mind clear of humanity and they make him just sort of a computer.
Ah.
But bits of his humanity start to bleed through in the course of the film. He starts to become more and more... self-actualized. Samuel L. Jackson plays the patriotic media mogul in the film, who's one of the villains. But the true villain of the piece is the CEO of the corporation that builds RoboCop. They kind of put insidious programming into this machine to their benefit. Originally, it was going to be played by Hugh Laurie. Which would have been great. So I was very excited.
Yeah.
Then I heard Hugh Laurie dropped out. So I was very sad.
Mm.
Then today I'm very excited again.
Because?
Michael Keaton to play the bad guy.
No kidding. He's one of those guys we can't figure out why it is more.
I've been complaining for years that he doesn't make enough movies, and so I'm glad to see Keaton working again in a film that I'm actually looking forward to see. So, good stuff. And Van Halen fans, bummed, of course, that the band is off the road. Now we may know why. There had been rumors of some health issues with Eddie Van Halen, and that's why the band broke up this time, as opposed to friction between Diamond Dave and Eddie.
Right. And they just, out of the blue, if I recall, Ralph, they just came and canceled like 40 shows or something like that, right? Just cut the tour short.
Eddie has been suffering, apparently, from something called diverticulitis. And if you know anyone who has this or has dealt with it, it is a horrible disease.
I don't know what that is.
Diverticulitis is basically an infection of the colon.
Ooh.
Which causes tremendous pain and issues, as you can imagine, with your eliminatory processes.
Ooh.
And it's just, it's insidious, and it's recurrent, and it can be very damaging. And in this case, apparently, it is. Eddie had emergency surgery for the diverticulitis, which is can necrotize the tissue, actually. Can kill part of your colon. I guess that's what it did in his case. He had to have part of his colon cut out. And he's going to be wearing a colostomy bag for a while.
No wonder your behind is bleeding!
It's 4 to 6 months to recover.
Wow.
So Van Halen's upcoming tour of Japan has been scrapped, although the boys say they hope to hit the stage again sometime soon. It's going to take a while for Eddie to recover, so we'll have to wait and see.
On the your butt ain't made for that!
On the positive side, they are eBaying his underwear.
No, that's Elvis. Once again, you're confused. Oh. Can't imagine Eddie up on stage shredding with a colostomy bag strapped to his side. I just don't think that's going to happen. So
that's not real rock style.
We wish him a speedy recovery.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays: tennis player Andy Roddick is 30 years old. Lisa Ling from the TV, she's 39. Cameron Diaz turns 40. Lars Fredriksson, guitarist of Rancid, is 41. Paul Oakenfold is 49. Michael Chiklis, also 49 today. And comedian Louis Black celebrates his 64th birthday.
Happy birthday, Lou! I hope you get a lot of presents.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock. I don't think that was very well-timed. You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7 minutes after 8 o'clock.
All right, Kevin, you're about to be very, very upset.
Why?
You are about to be one of those gun nuts that is barricading the house because he knows President Obama's coming to take his weapons away. This is going to be you. You're about to fight back, man. You are about to fight like you've never fought before as I introduce you to this article called 10 Junk Foods That Have No Business Existing.
Oh, F you. That's...
Because this is in your wheelhouse, right?
Junk food is an important part of life.
Well, that's what Chelsea Fagan says. She's the author of this article. She starts the article by saying, look, we all love junk food. Between that and sex, you pretty much got 90% of the reason for sustained human life.
Right.
What are we working all these boring jobs for if not to go home to a big plate of takeout pad thai? But there are some things that, beyond just being delicious ends to a particularly stressful day, seem purely out to destroy us. Whether too good, too bad, or just ridiculous, these treats need to just quit it because they're kind of being assholes.
These treats are not being assholes.
Well, let's see what's on her list, and then we'll give you the chance to defend these products. And she says they have no business existing, and then we're going to take calls from Kevin and Bean listeners about their most awesome junk food, the thing that is the worst for you that you love the most. And I don't know whether we're going to get some sort of a consensus here about what the best junk food is, but certainly the one that you're willing to stand up for.
All right.
Number 10, for instance, on her list of junk food that should not exist, cake pops, she says.
Oh, those are good.
Cake pops.
Yeah, those are good.
Seriously, wasn't cake enough of a problem in our collective lives before we could get it in the perfect shape, color, and product placement to suit our mood and event? I don't need my cake to look like Miley Cyrus and be on a popsicle stick. So cake pops, she says, no more. But you're down with cake pops.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is there a place you go? Is there a place you buy cake pops?
I don't know. I mean, you can get this stuff pretty much anywhere.
Number 9, Mountain Dew.
What?
Mountain Dew, she says.
What?
I know it's the crack to Red Bull's cocaine, I suppose, but God, it just seems so cruel. Putting kids on this horrifying witch's brew of caffeine, sugar, and crazy-ass colors at the age of what? 6, 8? How old are kids picking up the dew these days? Mountain Dew, she says.
Well, if they're Honey Boo Boo, their parents are feeding it to them in an IV, but for the rest of us, it's normal.
She says it's too much.
Yeah,
she
her.
Says, back away from the Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew, can I give you, can we, is that a check on the
yes.
Kevin list? I'd love the Mountain Dew. Number 8, Slim Jims. No human should ever eat a Slim Jim, not even for survival in some kind of stranded island situation. Death is more honorable than eating a Slim Jim, she says.
This woman can just die.
So you're supporting Slim Jims
as well? Of course.
Number 7, Funyuns.
Funyuns, I could take or leave. But,
really? Not but, a huge Funyun fan,
but
huh?
Here's the thing. I'm not interested in taking away someone else's Funyuns. If they love the Funyuns, let them have the Funyuns.
Weren't onion rings hard enough in actual onion form? I mean, when you either had to purchase a relatively expensive at the junk food world snack or make your own from scratch, God forbid. Either way, onion rings were going to be an investment and so worth it. Onions are everything that's good about junk food. Salty, fried, bringer of terrible breath, usually accompanied with zesty dipping sauce. But now with Funyuns, one can have a passable facsimile of the onion ring experience with only 99 cents at a convenience store.
Right. And it adds fun to the onion. Bean?
It does have fun right there in the name.
Come on now.
Number 6. Again, junk foods that have no business existing. She says snowballs.
Oh, snowballs are so good.
Just what are these things even? Who's like, I want a delicious dessert today? I've worked hard time to treat myself. I think I'm going to get a fluorescent pink ball of coconut rolled marshmallow sponge filled with dry cake and partially hydrogenated frosting. What? No one ever has said that. Cut it out, hostess.
No, snowballs are great, but I agree. It's impossible to tell what they are. It's some sort of rubber.
And it does seem like all of the snowballs in the world were made in around 1945 and just put out there in the marketplace and they never age, right?
Mm, still down.
All right. There's going to be a big fight here. And again, we're going to take your calls on your favorite junk food, the one that is essential for you that you will shoot if somebody comes to try to take it away. We want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. All right, there's going to be a big fight here.
I'm already not happy about cake pops and Mountain Dew and Slim Jims and Funyuns and snowballs.
Number 5, Taco Bell.
Oh, see.
Your favorite restaurant of all time,
Taco Bell. Taco Bell is one of the best places on earth.
Taco Bell touches something that no other fast food place can, and yet leaves us feeling like enormous gassy failures at the end of every shame-filled meal, she says.
This woman needs to murder button. We need the murder
Number
button.
Number 4, and this one hurts me personally, pumpkin spice anything. How are you coming at my pumpkin spice? I love pumpkin spice bread. I love pumpkin spice coffee. I'm totally down with pumpkin spice. She says no. On pumpkin spice.
Why does she hate fun?
Irresistible sugar-filled waltz of the taste buds. She still says no. Dunkin' Donuts, number three. Now, that one may not be much of a concern for us, right? Because we don't really have Dunkin' Donuts here, right?
No, but other, I mean, you might as well substitute any donut shop in there. Right?
You might as well say Krispy Kreme for that matter, because what's more awesome than Dunkin' Donuts when you feel like Dunkin' Donuts or Krispy Kreme when you feel like Krispy Kreme?
Is this woman a fat woman?
You know, there's no picture of her. That's really interesting.
What a
surprise. These are all of her demons that she's lashing out against. Number two on her list of junk foods that have no business existing. Deep fried Twinkie.
Oh, that's so good. And the fair's about to start up again, too.
I will tell you that I don't see any need to improve on a Twinkie as far as I can.
But if you can, why not?
To me, Twinkies are already about as good as they get.
Until you deep fat fry them.
She says there's no reason for a deep fried Twinkie. We need to stop pretending that there is. And number one on her list of junk foods that have no business existing. And I have to tell you, this is a little bit too much for me. She says it's like you're sticking a plastic fork and knife directly into a hot, gooey pile of self-loathing and hypertension. Ladies and gentlemen, the Cinnabon is number one on her list.
Oh, wow.
The Cinnabon. Less a pastry, more a lardy, solidified blob of sugar coated in a generous helping of even more molten sugar. There are Danishes that are more worthy of our time, yet still we give our souls over to these abominations and we have
Cinnabons
to stop. She says
great.
Cinnabon.
I need a Cinnabon right now.
I do not think you are dating this woman. I think Chelsea Fagan and you are on opposite sides of the aisle.
This is all dumb. I mean, why write an article like this? This doesn't even make sense. Here are the 10 things I hate. Maybe it is. Maybe she's fat. And these are the things that had her gain weight.
No, you could be right. She could just have some ulterior motive. I mean, she kind of makes it sound like she's looking out for America. She wants us to look deep within ourselves and go, what am I doing? Why am I putting the Cinnabon in my mouth?
When you've been up all night in Vegas and you've been drinking, and then you have to catch that early flight back because that's the one you booked for some reason because you thought it was going to be a great idea. And then you're at the airport, you're hungover, and you see the Cinnabon. You've never been more happy in all your life.
Because that's exactly what the doctor ordered.
Yes.
Let's talk to Melissa real quick on line 7, and then we'll get into the rest of the phone calls at 1-800-520-1067. What's the best junk food you can't live without, Melissa?
My raw cookie dough.
Raw cookie dough is pretty good, too.
Awesome.
It's
now,
the best.
Do you prefer it to the cookies that when they're made, you know, when you cook them, or is it just that it's easier and you're lazy to just eat the raw dough?
No, I prefer the raw cookie dough. I'll actually eat most of that and then only make about 5 of the cookies.
Because all the dough is gone. Yeah. All right. Thank you very much for the call. Let's try one more real quick before the break. How about Ashley? She's on line 8. Ashley, looking for your favorite junk food. What is it?
My favorite junk food is Red Vines.
Red Vines, every movie. Yeah, you got to have that at the movies. Oh, yeah.
I can't live without them. I get the 5-pound tub and I eat like 5 at a time every time I walk in the door.
How much do you weigh, Ashley?
I weigh 135.
Liar.
Red Vines, they don't seem like they would be that bad for you, by the way. I mean, I know they've got all sorts of weird chemicals in them, but they don't seem like they'd be super fattening, are they?
No, they're fat-free, so that makes it seem like it's okay to eat them all the time.
Right, but you know that's what they make like car tires out of. Right? I mean, it is just pure rubber.
Ashley, they're fat-free, so you can eat 100 of them a day and you'll be fine, right?
Yeah, that's what I'd like to believe.
I'm a fan of them, but they are just rubber.
Thank you for the call. 1-800-520-1067. What are we missing? We'll take your calls next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Great news for you, by the way, Kevin. Wolf writes in that there is a cake pop store right next to the drink store in Tarzana near where you live. So no excuse for you to not ever have cake pops. We're talking about this article that came out about junk foods that have no business existing. We take great exception with many of the items on this list, but we are talking about your favorite junk foods, the ones that you cannot live without. Maybe they're the best tasting but worst for you, but that doesn't matter because sometimes that's just what you want. Let's go to Garrett here on line 2. Got time for a few more calls. Then Dr. Drew joins us here for his weekly visit on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Garrett. What's going on, man?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
My favorite junk food by far is Chester's Hot Fries.
Chester's Hot Fries?
I don't know about like that. What's that?
Sounds like a sex move.
They're like a spin-off of Flamin' Hot Cheetos, but they're so much better.
Really? Where do you buy something like that? Is that sold in convenience stores?
I get them at every liquor store. They're everywhere. They're only $1, too.
All right.
Chester's Hot Fries. I got to try that. Yeah. By the way, thank you very much for the call, Garrett. We hadn't mentioned Hot Cheetos, but back when we were going through our Hot Cheetos obsession a couple of years ago, I really was eating a bag every single day, Kevin. I could not stop. I really did feel like I was addicted to those things.
I just love Hot Cheetos! I love you so much!
Let's go to Michelle. She's on line 4. She's calling from White Trash, California. Hi, Michelle. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
Okay, my favorite junk food is pork rinds.
Oh, pork rinds are good.
Yeah, pork rinds with lemon and chili in them. You know, when you shake them in a bag and they get like all soggy with this lemon in them. Yeah, that's really, really good. So bad for you, though.
Yeah,
so
of course. Of course. They're as good as they are bad for you. They taste good, and then they're bad for you.
Yeah, and then later on, you're just dying.
Right.
It's so funny, though,
Michelle, because there are people who are, you know, going about their day right now, getting ready for work or whatever, and they're thinking about having a nice, delicious breakfast, but they just heard you talk about your recipe for pork rinds, and that's where they're going instead.
Yep.
Nothing else will do. All right. Thank you for the call, my dear. Appreciate that. Let's try Evan. Evan's on line five, talking about your best junk food. Hi, Evan. What's up?
Hey, guys.
Hi.
My favorite junk food is a deep-fried Twinkie.
Deep-fried Twinkies is pretty strong.
Klondike bar.
And Klondike. Deep-fried anything.
Yeah.
Really is pretty good.
Is that something you would ever do at home? Would you go to the trouble to deep fry at home, or do you just save that for special occasions like the LA County Fair?
Well, I usually go to the Orange County Fair, and I sometimes do it at home.
You do it at home? Wow.
Check you out. So you weigh over 300 pounds, right, Evan?
No.
Really? You're deep frying at home and you're under three bills? That shocks me.
290?
Sometimes. I don't do it all the time, but I do it like once a month maybe.
Okay. All right.
All right. Good for you. Thank you very much for the call.
What about the s'more, by the way? We haven't talked about that. That's a mixture of all kinds of good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Graham crackers and the chocolate. And, come on. The marshmallow.
Brittany writes in, I will kill for junk food, especially anything that is red velvet or covered in white chocolate. And I mean anything. Put the two together and I just die of happiness. I'm not sure where that's going. Let's try Valerie, line one. Hi, Valerie. Thanks a lot for calling the Kevin Bean Show. What's your junk food of choice?
Good morning, y'all. Well, I'm originally from the East Coast, so I don't know if anybody's even heard of these. It's by Drake's Cakes. They're called Funny Bones. They're a chocolate cake that's filled with peanut butter cream and then dipped in chocolate, and they are freaking delicious.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
That does sound awesome.
It is.
I need a funny bone right now.
Where can you buy them in Southern California?
You can't. I have to send my child back to see his grandmother twice a year, and he brings me back two boxes.
Can he bring back four boxes next time?
Yeah, okay.
Okay. All right.
Absolutely. I'll have him bring an extra box and I'll send it over to you.
Fantastic.
Guys.
Thank you, Valerie. We will think
You're
of nothing
welcome.
Else until your package arrives. Thanks for the call. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Hey! Ho!
Hey. Who's with me? 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is 8:36.
Let's welcome our old friend, Dr. Drew Pinsky, co-host of Loveline, 5 nights a week here on K-Rock, back to the show for his weekly visit. Hi, Doc. How are you?
Good morning.
I know we're going to talk more about it when we get closer, but I want to remind everybody that the sixth season of Celebrity Rehab, now with fewer celebrities, Rehab with Dr. Drew, premieres on VH1 on Sunday night, September the 16th. That's right around the corner. And I hear that in many ways it was your most challenging season yet, Drew.
Yeah, it's no celebrities, Bane. It's regular people, which is something I've always wanted to do because that's what I do in my regular life, is just treating regular people. And people got angry that we were treating celebrities, and I really never had any control over that. And finally,
right.
VH1 proposed we do this. I said, yes, absolutely. And the interesting thing is, these people, we're still dealing with them. They're very, very ill. They've had lots of very serious addiction problems. We did the show probably about 6 months ago, and yet we're still treating them on a daily basis now.
Right.
But they were so motivated to get in. I mean, this was a once-in-a-lifetime chance to, you know, to get help with people who had no resources, and it was really, really, I was so excited because we could really help these people.
I don't think people realize how expensive rehabs are.
Oh, it's ridiculous. And plus, you know, as you say, I have a team of people. You know, Bob, me, Shelley, and Dr. Sharp, we're still treating these people on a daily basis 6 months later.
Wow.
This would cost tens and tens and tens of thousands of dollars for these people.
And even when you don't allow celebrities in anymore, that means Shifty Shell Shock can still get in, right?
No.
Nice.
Oh, you're so funny.
Hey,
you're
Dr. Drew, funny. One last question.
Yeah.
And we do want to talk about this as it gets closer to the time that it airs. But the cameras being there, does that change things more than it did with celebrities?
It didn't. However, as the airing is approaching, I'm noticing it's making these folks more anxious than it made the celebrities.
Oh.
Celebrities did not care at all about it going to air. My current patients are really kind of disturbed. They're worried they're going to be perceived.
Sure.
And judged. And in fact, thank God the producers do that with great care to make sure that people are not they look sympathetic, and they have people actually attached to their stories rather than judge them and get angry with them. So I'm reassuring them that things are going to be fine. But for them, they've never been through this before.
Yeah, sure. Exciting. Yeah.
And by the way, they're at a very fragile, delicate time right now. Speaking of which, by the way, you were saying something. I forget what you said when you introduced me, but that something was coming on the show upcoming. And I understand you're going to have Bianca Kylik on this show in a week or two.
As a matter of fact, we are. Yes.
Oh boy. That's, she has a little relationship with Psycho Mike, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's mainly what our conversation is going to be about.
Hey, look, we're going to try to talk her out of it, just like you try to talk her out of it every time you see her.
Good, perfect.
Bad choices.
That's what I want to be sure.
That's the day of bad choices.
All right, here's the question I have for you, Dr. Drew, and one of the reasons I'm so grateful that you carve out time for us each week is there's something in the news every week that I want your professional opinion on. Here's a story that is getting a lot of coverage right now. There's a Massachusetts primary care doctor. Her name is Helen Carter, and she is in the news because she has a policy now in her clinic where she no longer will treat women who weigh over 200 pounds. And one of those women who was turned away named Ida Davidson has gone to the media and saying, look, I've never heard anything like this. I thought doctors were there to help you. She and other physicians are at the point now where they say there's too much trouble in treating patients of that size. It's more likely that something's going to go wrong. Somebody's going to get sued. Everything's more complicated. They have too many health problems. Surgeries, pregnancies, everything is 10 times harder. Your thoughts on this?
Well, a doctor has a right to do that, provided that the person whom they're refusing has access to adequate care. They can't just cast them out into no care. They have to give them other referrals. They have to make sure that they've done so in a careful way. I mean, think about it. Doctors can refuse to do abortions. Doctors may refuse to treat very complicated medical problems because they don't feel they have either the training or the resources, or they just don't want to take on that liability.
We can see what she's saying in that everything is more complex.
Yeah, that there's more liability, and she doesn't want that headache, and she may refuse, you know, certain complicated cardiac cases too, as well. However, people will argue that is a sort of spurious argument in this case, and this is explicitly discriminatory. And I could see where that argument can be made as well. Unfortunately, as physicians, you know, we sometimes don't have control over our destiny, and we have to do things just because it's the right thing to do.
Right, but when Fatty walks into your office, don't you go, oh, no.
Well, no, I don't.
Dr. Drew.
No, I don't do that. I treat lots of overweight people. If I didn't, it'd be hard to treat many people because there's a big percentage of the country that is overweight. And by the way, I like complicated cases. I seek them out. I mean, that's why I became a doctor. But, you know, if that's what this physician wants to do, insofar, listen, would you want to be cared for by that doctor if you knew how he or she felt?
No, yeah. That's true.
Yeah, so I would not make an effort to be under that person's care, but I would sort of question the ethics, and I have a feeling a little more is going to come of this than this poor doctor wants.
Well, let me, to your first point, by the way, you talked about how you can't just throw them out to the cold with no access to medical care. In the doctor's defense, she said, look, there are other facilities in the area, in her words, that are better suited to deal with overweight patients. So there is other medical care available in Massachusetts, of course. It's not like this is a one-doctor town and they have to drive 80 miles to see a physician. But let me tweak this for you a little bit, because this same article goes on to say that there are an increasing number of pediatricians, doctor, who will no longer take kids as patients if their parents have refused to vaccinate them. They don't want to have anything to do with that.
Yeah.
Same deal. They have the right to turn them away, but should they?
Well, it's the same deal, but there's even a bigger – I think there's an actual more powerful ethical imperative there for those pediatricians to make a stand like that, because when you don't vaccinate your kids, you put the community at risk. And so, yes, you may have the right not to vaccinate your kids, and you may have very strong feelings about that, but you're not making a decision just for your child. You're making a decision that can affect an entire community, and the pediatricians do have an obligation to help protect an entire community. So I see that as probably a very important stand.
Don't most of the new patients that approach you, Dr. Drew, that just show up out of the blue, they come to your office because they just want to see your pecs in person, right?
That's why you guys showed up on. Oh, no, that was Jimmy Kimmel. You came with Kimmel.
Came with Kimmel when he had that problem where things were closing up.
Rehab with Dr. Drew premieres on VH1 Sunday night, September the 16th. We'll be talking much more about that as we get closer and prepare to meet this season's patients. Always great to have you on, Doc. Thanks for the time.
Thanks,
106.7 K-Rock. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9 minutes till 9.
Time for another look at the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph Garman.
I heard you guys talking to Jerry Jones earlier in the show today.
Yeah, he's rapping, you know.
Jerry Jones is rapping in a new Papa John's commercial. where it's some sort of meal deal. It's a cowboy special. You get a soda and some pizza for a special price.
You mean play some of that? I have it. Him rapping?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
When I'm at Cowboys Stadium or sitting at home, and I hear Papa John's Pizza for Jerry Jones, yo, it lights me up like a Roman candle with toppings and flavor almost too good to handle.
Come on.
Yeah. I guess you got to make as many deals as possible to pay for a $1 billion football stadium.
Yeah. Apparently, Papa John also has another deal. If Dallas ever wins a playoff game, you get a free pizza. But they figure that they're safe. They'll never have to,
pay that one off.
But the reason I bring it up is because I was looking at some Jerry interview footage, and I can't believe everyone's talking about his rap.
Why? That's fascinating.
It's fascinating, but it's not nearly the big story. The big story is Jerry came out.
What?
During a news conference in Oxnard, California, during training camp for the Cowboys.
You mean came out as a gay man?
Yeah. Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Look. Don't take it from me. Just listen to Jerry Jones.
It is a reminder. I've been here when it was glory hole days, and I've been here when it wasn't. I want me some glory hole.
Mm-hmm. Did he say I want me some glory hole?
Jerry Jones wants some glory hole. That's what he wants.
He means there. Glory days, right?
No, no.
He said glory hole twice.
Play it again.
It is a reminder. I've been here when it was glory hole days, and I've been here when it wasn't.
That's right.
I want me some glory hole.
That's right. He wants the glory hole. He wants some glory hole. He's been in the camp when they had the glory holes, and then when they didn't, and it was better when they had the glory hole.
He strongly prefers it.
Good for Jerry at this late age.
That's what I'm saying. He has the courage to come out.
Live
free.
If
only more Cowboys fans, if only most Cowboy fans had the courage to also do that, I would appreciate that. It turns out a glory hole is an old-timey saying in the gas and oil industry.
Oh, is that right?
That when you strike it rich, when one of your
Oh, so he needs
drilling,
strike it rich.
One of your oil rigs comes in. That hole is the glory hole where the oil comes out of.
That's not the only hole that's a glory hole.
I don't think he may be familiar with the other meaning for that phrase, but it sure was funny.
He's probably been made aware of it since.
Did you hear the sports report?
Yeah, they were laughing.
Like, glory hole.
It is a reminder. I've been here when it was glory hole days, and I've been here when it wasn't. I want me some glory hole.
Actually, one of the other cowboy staff stepped in.
Oh, is that
and
right?
Said into the microphone to the reporters. For those of you who don't know, glory hole is a name used in the oil and gas industry when you have a
nice try to save.
Look, they both involve gushers.
That's true.
That's all we're saying.
It's true. Oh.
Who knows which kind he prefers?
This isn't an Eagles fan talking about.
What?
No.
How dare you?
That may be a lot of joy happening. Anything having to do with the Cowboys here, right?
A lot of joy happening at the camp, apparently, with the glory holes for the Cowboys. A lot of joy there, too. Could you see Michael Douglas as former President Ronald Reagan?
Michael Douglas as former President Ronald Reagan.
I mean, he's a terrific actor, I guess, with the right makeup prosthetics. Sure, why not?
Man, he's just doing all kinds of biopics.
Yeah, I can see that.
He's playing Liberace in the Liberace story, and now he's doing Reagan in a new film called Reykjavik, Easy Bean, about the summit in Iceland with Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev back in 1986. They had a legendary meeting in Reykjavik regarding policy between the United States and
it was mainly
at the
a
time
rave.
The Soviet Union.
It was mainly a rave.
I don't believe it was a rave.
I think
No, I'm pretty sure it mainly was not a rave. But Michael Douglas will play Ronald Reagan.
Well, greed is good.
I'm slipping a little Gordon Gekko there while he's at it. Sad news for Van Halen fans. Eddie Van Halen has been taken off the road. You know, the guys canceled a bunch of concerts recently. They were still planning on touring Japan, but that has been scrapped as well due to Eddie's illness. He's battling a severe bout of what they call diverticulitis, which is a...
That seems bad.
Which is a bad disease where your colon gets infected and sometimes impacted. And in the worst cases, which is what Eddie has, they have to cut part of your colon out.
Oh, that seems bad.
They have to go in there and take the infected piece out and sew you back up again.
Does he know Jerry Jones? Is that what happened?
Wow.
So apparently he'll be wearing a colostomy bag for a while and will need 4 to 6 months to recover.
That's not sexy.
It's not sexy at all. So I think they are smart to let Eddie heal up, and then they're going to try to reschedule if they can. But bad news. Ryan Gosling
Nope. No. Yeah. Ryan Gosling.
You got to give us more heads up than that.
Is more than just a pretty face. Well, it's always right at your fingertips whenever I'm not talking about Ryan Gosling.
Correct.
So I just assumed it was always there. Ryan Gosling is more than just a pretty face. He is now a film director.
He's going
to be directing a film that he wrote himself called How to Catch a Monster. It is a what he's referring to as a modern-day fairy tale. And it gets even better. His leading lady in the film, Christina Hendricks from Mad Men.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that's a good thing. That's
okay.
A good thing on many levels. Can you imagine her on the big screen?
All right, then.
Imagine what you'd see there on the big screen with her being there all big on the screen with all big screenness.
That's a 3D movie, whether you shoot it that way or not.
I want it. I want 3D. I want IMAX. I want Spankovision. I want whatever they have at their fingertips to give me. Speaking of Ryan, he is going to be featured in a new coloring book, if you want to pick that up.
A new coloring book.
A British retailer called Maiden apparently is making celebrity coloring books. Color Me Good is the name of the line, and Color Me Good Ryan Gosling will feature 15 pages of nothing of outlines of Ryan Gosling that you can color in.
That's weird.
It's dumb. Stupid. What grown-ups are buying Ryan Gosling coloring books and coloring him in?
I don't know.
I think I'd like to try that. I have two of those.
I've got a Zac Efron coloring book. I don't color it in with crayons, though.
I wish they had a Christina Hendricks coloring book.
No.
This entire report is making me uncomfortable.
Lady Gaga.
Ryan Gosling.
No. Says she feels used.
By?
Her friends and mentors who have betrayed her.
Because?
She posted a letter to her fans letting them know that she felt betrayed by friends and mentors that she's had her whole life. But she's cut them out of her life. Telling her little monsters, I am feeling blessed to have removed from my life those who are driven by money and luxury. I feel free today. So it's this greed. It's greed that caused them to betray her. People who are all about money and all about luxury. Those are the bad people. So Gaga has announced her next concert. Free tickets. Free tickets for everyone to go see Lay.
Don't think she's done
no,
that
she's still
at all.
Charging an enormous amount to go see her. So perhaps there's a place for money in her life after all.
She would just like it to stay with her.
And while we're talking about money, congratulations to Charlie Sheen. Look, every time we count this guy out, he gets off the mat. Yesterday it was announced by the FX cable network they have decided to extend his television program, Anger Management, for another 90 episodes. That was part of his deal when he signed up. He said, look, I'll do the show for you. I'm going to do 10. If we hit a certain ratings threshold, there's an automatic clause in my contract which kicks in, which means your renewal has to be, if you renew, it has to be for 90 episodes.
That's unbelievable. What a deal.
So that makes 100 episodes.
I probably figured they were safe.
They'll have ready for syndication by the year 2014, because they're shooting 45 episodes a year for these next 90.
Oh, man. 35 through 45 are going to be good.
High-quality shows. Watch.
All right. What else you got? Charlie Goes to the Zoo. Shoot it.
They got to write 90 episodes in 2 years. And with Charlie, eventually it's going to be like just people walking around Charlie, using him as furniture. Charlie, if you think these people are dumb, don't say anything. Okay. So, anyway, it's just him laying in a chair unconscious. It's going to put them ready for syndication. They're going to cash in on the big bucks, which is the syndication money, in 2 years. By 2014, they'll all have it all in place. So looks like it's going to be a win-win for everybody involved. Everybody gets paid.
Not sure that show. Takes, what, 10 years?
Five years is the average for a sitcom like that to get enough episodes to go into syndication. You need at least 100 episodes. They're going to have it in the can in 2 years. Today's celebrity birthday is Andy Roddick. The tennis player is 30 years old today. Lisa Ling celebrates her 39th birthday. Cameron Diaz celebrates her 40th birthday. Were you telling me, Bean, that Steve Jones of Jonesy's Jukebox here on K-Rock said he had a fling with Cameron Diaz?
He sure did, yeah. He confessed that this week on the Nerdist podcast. He named her along with several other famous women that he had sex with throughout the years, which really surprised me.
Nicely done.
Yeah. Kelly LeBrock, for instance.
Oh,
he had sex with her in the 80s when she was so hot. What, from Real to
Weird
Real
Science?
Genius? Weird Science, yeah.
Nicely done.
Joan Jett. Yeah. He claims to be the last man that Joan Jett ever had sex with.
And that's in fact, what drove her over.
Yeah, is that perhaps what you won? Is that
knocked over to the other side?
I don't think so. I don't think that's a compliment. But yeah, very fascinating interview. Jonesy's had quite the life.
She hated herself for loving him.
File.
What?
Oh, please.
Come on.
Fake outrage, man.
Wow. I don't. Do the guy. File. Put me in a file.
Yeah.
Because I don't give a damn about my reputation. Go ahead. Just put it in. Just go ahead. Anything else? Anyone?
Nope.
All right. Lars Fredriksson of Rancid, he's a guitarist for that band, is 41. Paul Oakenfold is 49. Michael Chiklis has got a new series called Vegas. I'm looking forward to seeing that. Him and Dennis Quaid together. Yeah, Dennis Quaid. Dennis Quaid? Randy Quaid? Dennis Quaid.
One of the Quaids.
One of the Quaids. Uh-huh. The good Quaid, not the crazy Quaid. Not the Hollywood Assassin Brigade Quaid. The good one. 49 years old today. Comedian Louis Black, one of my favorites. Have you ever seen Lou Black live?
I want to say yes, but I don't know.
I've seen him a couple times, man. Just nobody makes me laugh.
He's great.
He's got a new comedy special coming out on Comedy Central in a couple weeks, September 7th, I think, and then the CD version is on the 11th. It gets dropped. Maybe we can have Lou in to talk about that. He's always a funny, funny man. 64 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
Final look at the Showbiz Beat for a Thursday Kevin Bean Show. That means
it's Ralph Garman time. Hey, Ralph.
Hello. Check one. Check.
What's going on?
I don't know. I don't know what's going on over there.
What?
I don't know. Music loud. My mic wasn't up. What's going on? What's going on over there?
Sounds fine to me.
All right.
What to tell you?
You try to ruin the best day of my professional life. Thank you.
Why is this the best day?
Because I get to report the greatest story of my career.
Okay.
As an entertainment journalist.
Is Tadoff Switler, has she been found dead in a bunker?
No.
Oh, that would be good.
Not quite that good. That'll be the greatest day when that happens. But yeah. Today is the greatest day of my professional life.
Okay.
As a Pulitzer Prize winning entertainment journalist.
You have won no prizes.
Pulitzer? Yeah, yeah. This is the greatest. I have never been more proud or pleased to be able to announce a story, to bring this news to you.
Wow. It's huge.
Just happened moments ago.
Okay.
MTV has announced they're canceling the Jersey Shore.
Yay!
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you. People are leaving their homes. They're in the streets. I've never seen a celebration like this. It's like VE Day all over again. Strangers are kissing. Confetti being thrown out of high-rise buildings as people just mill the street. Buying newspapers to commemorate this day so they can tell their grandchildren someday where they were when Jersey Shore was canceled. It's a great day for television, a great day for America, ladies and gentlemen.
Ralph, I can't even see you anymore because of the ticker tape parade. You're now completely lost.
It's truly, for anyone who's ever watched television, who enjoys the medium, it is truly the greatest day we've ever experienced. Remember where you were, ladies and gentlemen, when you heard this news, because this will be akin to where were you when JFK was assassinated, where were you when man landed on the moon. You're going to want to tell your children and their children where you were when MTV canceled Jersey Shore.
I mean, that's pretty good news, right?
It's great news.
Yeah.
The sixth and final season of the show just wrapped production and will debut Thursday, October 4th. But after that, no more Jersey Shore.
I hope Lucretia's listening right now. She's going to be so happy.
Happy slash sad because she's going to miss it.
The network is going to air a very special look back at the Jersey Shore.
Oh,
but just
be
before
touching.
The Video Music Awards on September the 6th. They will give a salute to their program. It's a retrospective special entitled Jim Tan Look Back.
You were excluded from the Surf and Turf night. You were excluded from Ravioli night. You were excluded from Chicken Cutlet night.
Maybe you didn't hear its title. Jim Tan Look Back is what they're calling it. F MTV so hard and everyone involved with it. That's what you're calling your retrospective special?
So you need to be on your tip-top game with your GTLs to stay FTD to get the girls to DTF in MIA.
Jim Tan Look Back.
Yeah.
How about Jim Tan Kill Yourselves?
What does this mean for all of the spin-off shows? The Pauly D Show, the Snooki Show?
I'm glad you asked. Glad you asked, Bean. The show has been survived by Snooki and JWoww, Pauly D Project. MTV has not announced a verdict on Pauly D Project. But Snooki and JWoww has been picked up for a second season. So
really?
we're not over yet. We're not out of the woods yet, people, but this is a very, very good beginning.
Some lingering effects. But
there is. There's some radiation fallout from the Chernobyl of television that was Jersey Shore. But hopefully we all won't grow three eyes and have malformed children because of it. Although Snooki apparently did. Jim Tan Look Back. God damn it. More good news. Everyone hates Taylor Swift as much as I do.
Who?
I'm sorry. Tadoff Switler.
Thank you.
The internet is a wonderful place because you can do things like this. Taylor Swift in conjunction with a textbook rental company called Chegg and pizza maker Papa John. They have combined for a promotional event, which they have an online voting. Whatever school got the most votes, Taylor Swift would show up there and give a performance. And plus, that school would get a $10,000 grant for their music department.
Okay.
So everyone on the internet did the right thing. And all the trolls casted their votes for a particular school, forcing Tadoff Switler to go there. It's the Horace Mann School for the Deaf and Hard of Hearing in Alston, Massachusetts.
People voting comedy. Those are my people.
The clear leader. Now, here's the thing. In the rules, the official rules, it says that Taylor and her people can opt out of a performance if they're not happy with the results.
Well, what kind of a contest is that?
It's the contest of Satan. That's what it is. It's Satan's contest. It's evil's contest.
We're going to do it. Unless we don't want to.
Fine. I say to Taylor Swift, I throw this gauntlet down, Tadoff Switler. You go ahead and cancel a performance at the School for the Deaf. You go ahead and you walk out on those deaf and hard of hearing children. You do that. You feel free to do that, you diseased whore.
She has diseases?
Yes.
And she's not a diseased whore at all.
I didn't realize that.
By the way, people who tune in only occasionally, Ralph, may be surprised to hear you so down on America's Sweetheart. In a few words, what's your problem with Taylor?
That's it.
Those are the words. The only words I get to describe.
That's
it.
The prosecution rest, yep. Right?
Just listen to her music. Every man she ever dated, she has to write some badass
"I hate you, you're dumb"
you song. You're mean. You broke up with me.
You're so mean.
Get over it, you child. You're 22 years old. Move on. Grow a set. I mean, literally. You got no boobs either.
She does look like an 11-year-old boy.
Hate her so much. And Bill Cosby wants you to know he's still alive.
Oh, thank God.
Internet rumors ran amok this week, saying Bill Cosby had passed away. I think one of the reasons may have been the Facebook page entitled R.I.P. Bill Cosby, a guy named Jonathan Gorman created. The group received 315,000 likes on that page. So everyone assumed it was a tribute page to the passing of the comedian Bill Cosby. Bill had to go on Twitter and tweet out that he wasn't dead. We think that's what he said. Let me read you his tweet.
I heard pudding pops. That's all I heard.
I heard dying and pudding pops.
That's all I heard.
We believe he's okay. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Andy Roddick is 30 years old. Lisa Ling. She's a TV personality. What was she on? The View? Is that where she got her start?
That's right. Yeah.
Met her. 39 years old.
Now she works for Oprah. While we're talking about Satan, she's on one of those OWN shows.
Cameron Diaz is 40. Lars Frederiksen, guitarist for Rancid, is 41 years old. Legendary DJ Paul Oakenfold, 49 years old. Michael Chiklis, Chicky. He's known to his friends. He was, of course, famously the star of The Shield. But before that, he was the Commish.
Sure. That's right.
He played John Belushi in the movie based on the bio of John Belushi. Wired, I believe it was called. Played Curly Howard of the Three Stooges in a very successful television film. What a varied and sundried career this man has had. The Thing from the Fantastic Four.
Oh, right.
Well, he's got a new series called Vegas coming on soon. I'm looking forward to it. He's 49 years old. And comedian Louis Black. And I told the story earlier today, but I listened to the new Lou Black comedy CD called In God We Rust. It's available on the 11th of September. I was driving around L.A. traffic, and usually that makes me miserable. It was hot. It was a hot, busy day in L.A. traffic, and I turned it on, and for the better part of 2 hours, I was running errands. I just cried. I just laughed literally till tears were coming down my face.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you, Lou. He is 64 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman.
Are you out of your mind?
Well, that's possible. 64. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Unbelievable. Stop it.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, a brand new movie beat. As it is Friday, we'll tell you about the new movies in the theaters. We're going to get your stories on what happened to you when you took Ambien. That seems to be a powder keg of a pill right there. You do weird stuff. Adam Carolla, This Week in Rage.
Yeah.
And our friend Kevin Smith will be joining us in studio tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin.